You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith on AM 820 Relevant Radio in Chicago. We are the Archdiocese of Chicago, bringing you good news and news of good works within this great local church. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, with co-host Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very well, Nick.
Good.
This is our monthly second Monday of the month focus on the Catholic schools.
Right, and we're very happy. I think we got three great topics for this morning's audience, so I think that the listening audience should enjoy this.
Well, I think one of the things you want to do today, Nick, is to update us on the status of Notre Dame High School over Niles. It's a place close to my heart. I was the campus minister there for a couple of years back in the mid-'80s. So what's going on with the school?
Well, I think the important thing to know there, of course, is that the priests of the Holy Cross are withdrawing their sponsorship as of June 30th of 2007, which means that they are no longer going to operate the school. However, the school is an excellent school. It's over 700 boys and has had a tremendous track record of producing very well-educated, faith-filled young men who go on to college and take great leadership roles here in the Archdiocese and, of course, many other places. So we wanted to make sure that school continued, and in order to do that, we have to do it according to what is proper, so to speak, in terms of canonical as well as civil law. And in canon law, during the Second Vatican Council, they had come up with some very unique ideas about how Catholic lay people can take over these ministries. To have a Catholic school, you have to have the school sponsored by an entity that is recognized by the church. And that's what we call a public juridic person. So, in canon law, there is a section that says that the cardinal can create what he calls an association of the Christian faithful. And that association is analogous to like a religious order. Actually, religious men and women, they are lay people in the church. They're not, priests of the Holy Orders.
That's something a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, that's right. So this association is analogous to that. And then when the cardinal recognizes them as an association of the Christian faithful, as a public juridic person, then that group is able, by virtue of canon law, to operate a Catholic institution, such as a school. It could be a hospital, it could be some social agencies too. But in this particular situation, it is a school. So the cardinal has, in fact, done this. All this group of people up there at Notre Dame have done a wonderful job working with us, and we have developed the documents. The cardinal has signed them, so it is all official that group is now a public juridic person, and they are going to start operating the Catholic School of Notre Dame Boys for High School as of July 1st, 2007.
And will that be under the auspices of the Archdiocese?
It's going to be privately owned. It's going to be this is a separate entity. It's been incorporated civilly, too, just like they are following canon law, so that it is a school operating, it's a Catholic school operating in the Archdiocese, but is owned by this association, not by the Archdiocese.
So it's as if it were run by an independent religious order.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's great. Well, I'm sure that's great news for all the parents of those Notre Dame students.
Absolutely, and I understand they've had some tremendous, what they call shadow days and open houses, and so the spirit and the energy is continuing at Notre Dame High School for Boys, and we have all the confidence in the world that under this new leadership, this new governance model, that the school will flourish in the future as it has in the past.
Yeah. Well, it is a wonderful school. One of my son's close friends attends there, and he seems to be doing very well there, so yeah. I'm delighted that its future is secure.
Absolutely.
Well, Nick, today we have a special guest because there's a topic that you'd like to introduce us. Apparently, there's a new move within the Archdiocese in terms of how to structure the boards that help pastors to run their schools. So we would like to welcome to our conversation Dr. Carol Palmer of the Office of Catholic Schools. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here this morning.
And you are going to help us understand what boards of specified jurisdiction are.
I will certainly do my best.
Well, let's get to it. What are we talking about here?
You know, boards of specified jurisdiction are kind of a new way for us to reach out to other parts of our community to take and to take advantage of and to invite in really their participation in their areas of expertise. And it's a way for the boards to become more involved in helping support the mission of the school as well as the function of the school by those different areas of expertise.
I think it's important to point out, if you take a look at the history of how schools have been governed, going back to the middle of the 20th century and before then, and that's a very fluid point, but most of the time, Catholic schools were very simple entities at that time, very simple. They were easy to operate, and the sisters, because there were so many of them, 95% of our employees were sisters, and so the sisters themselves, the religious orders, provided a lot of oversight of the schools, and it was very easy to govern a school in the past to do that without too much difficulty. But as time went on over the past 50 years, especially since the Second Vatican Council, a lot got more complicated in terms of the profession itself of education, in terms of financing Catholic schools, in terms of personnel, costs, et cetera, et cetera. And also, the fewer priests. We feel that to empower the lay people, as Carol's talking about, to get involved in helping the pastors govern the school, sharing, not taking away, but sharing that authority with the pastors, that this is how we can help the church move forward and the Catholic school ministry evolve into a stronger entity.
Now, Nick, Dr. Carol, I know next to nothing about this, so I'm a perfect audience for you here. But I'm aware that most parishes have school boards already. How does this new structure differ from what's in place already?
I think the way that the authority is delegated is somewhat different. I also think the level of responsibility that the board would take on would be different. Currently, the boards that are in place are really in the main advisory council, where these will have, you know, a stronger role as well as a stronger support and responsibility for the school and how it functions.
Now they're called boards of specified jurisdiction. That word jurisdiction speaks to me in my ignorance of authority. How does this impact the authority of the pastor over his own parish school?
I think really what it does is support the pastor. It allows him to delegate some responsibilities, but still maintain oversight over the school, maintain oversight over the mission, and make sure that the direction is really the one that the parish wants to hold. I think also that if you want to think in terms of jurisdiction, you might think in terms of boundaries, in terms of here is the jurisdiction or the areas of responsibilities that you might have as a board person. There are certain responsibilities, of course, and authorities that are reserved to the pastor and to the archbishop.
So that remains true even
Absolutely.
Under this structure?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But then what you do is you give more of the authority to this board, this group of lay people, and when you give more authority to them, they feel a greater sense of ownership, and they are then become very familiar with the issues, the problems, that are challenges that are facing the school. And because they have such a sense of ownership, then they become a part of the solution. And they just aren't sitting back watching, but they're totally involved because they have more responsibility.
Well, this is a fascinating topic. I have several more questions that I think would be good for us to focus on. It's time for us to take a break. So when we come back, we'll continue this conversation about Catholic elementary school boards. Please stay with us.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
From the moment you see the dramatic cover photo of an angel atop a church watching over the city of Chicago, you know you're about to enjoy a very special book. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith, is a treasure chest of photographs, paintings, and historic perspective. Every church in the Archdiocese of Chicago is featured. The book provides readers with insight into our Catholic heritage, ministry, evolution, and challenges. A Journey of Faith makes a great gift with more than 340 pages of photos and history printed on gloss paper, hardcover, color throughout. It is available at many parishes, or you can call Liturgy Training Publications at 1-800-933-1800 or order online at ltp.org. So call 1-800-933-1800 or go to ltp.org. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith. Display it proudly in your home.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 820 in Chicago. We are the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese. We're talking today about the Catholic schools in this great local church with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the superintendent of Catholic schools, and Dr. Carol Palmer of the Catholic Schools Office. By the way, just a plug on top of that plug, that book, Journey of Faith, it's amazing. It's a wonderful Christmas gift. Buy one for somebody. Dr. Nick, Dr. Carol, where does this idea come from for the boards of specified jurisdiction? Are they currently being used anywhere else? Is this model in place?
The idea for them really is coming out of Genesis, our strategic plan here in the Archdiocese. And it is a way, as Nick mentioned earlier, to really invite that participation and ownership from the laity in our Catholic schools. An analogous board, if you're familiar with some of the workings of our order-sponsored high schools, would be the boards at those high schools. In many respects, the actions of the boards are translatable, certainly in terms of the responsibilities of the board, the skills that are in residence on those boards, as well as the ownership that those boards take, really for the mission as well as for the health and vitality and the academic excellence of the schools that are sponsored.
And not all of the schools are being required to do this. We are requiring those schools that receive operating grants from the Archdiocese to move in this direction. And then there's the high schools. There's six archdiocesan high schools that are required to do this. And then there are a number of elementary schools that have volunteered. So we have approximately 50 to 55 schools that are going through a training with a consultative group we hired out of Hartford, Connecticut, called Catholic School Management. Hmm. And this company is has a tremendous track record. They've worked with 3,500 schools across the country over the years, and only six of those 3,500 schools have closed.
Wow.
So their specialty is governance. And we're putting these schools, we're providing them in-service staff development programs for this year, hopefully that they will be up and running by fall of next year. And then we would like to do the same kind of thing next year with another group of schools, so that over a course of 2 years, we would go in, we would have maybe 100 schools on the elementary level, doing this kind of governance model.
So a pastor can choose to invite this model into his parish.
Yeah, for the other schools, we're encouraging the pastors, because we truly believe, there's some research done that shows that schools that have boards of specified jurisdiction are more viable financially than schools that have a consultative or advisory councils.
And do you attribute that to the greater sense of ownership?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, good people are not afraid to contribute their time and energy when they know they have a real say in how things are going to be done. You take that say away from people, that responsibility, then these really talented Catholics, and non-Catholics too for that matter, so they just don't know that they want to contribute all that time if it's not going to have some results.
So when they have this kind of jurisdiction, they sense this responsibility is on my shoulders. If I don't do my job well, the future of this school isn't as secure. And so they maybe take that responsibility even more seriously.
Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, as Carol so rightly said, this is not taking power away from the pastors. It is sharing. There are some pastors that have two or three parishes, and some of those parishes that they might have, you know, that they're working in or assigned to might have a school, another one might not, but there aren't that many. We have to help the pastors do their job, you know, so we can take some of that responsibility off of them. And we have some parishes on the west side that don't even have a pastor at this point. I think there are six or seven parishes on the west side.
What would be some of the responsibilities that remain the aegis of the pastor?
Some of those responsibilities would include things around mission, ensuring that the mission is appropriate, ensuring that the capital responsibilities, the capital funds and initiatives for the parish itself would remain with him. Additionally, choosing and accepting board members, actually referred board members from the board, but actually choosing the board members remains the pastor's job.
You know, in terms of choosing the board members, is there a composition of the board that's specific to this plan? Any requirements?
Actually, it is. It's a skills-based board, and there are a variety of skills. There are seven main areas where one would look. Buildings and grounds, for instance, finance, development, policy and planning, for instance. So you would be looking for people with those types of skills, building management or construction. You'd be looking for people with a financial background. You would be looking for possibly people with a legal background, as well as people who would have an educational background or legal background, for instance, and marketing.
Yeah.
So that all of those areas would really be being addressed.
What is the parent composition, membership of this board?
The parent composition of this board is normatively 25%. So that is the number that we would be going out with. The size of this board is from 11 to 21 members. So it's really quite a sizable board, as it is a roll up your sleeves, do the work kind of a board. With that in mind, we figured that 25% of the board being parents would still give the local perspective and ownership that is resident in our current parent community, as well as inviting a broader perspective from the community at large in the parish, from the community in which the parish is resident, as well as local businesses, civic areas, etc. So really trying to cover all the bases in that respect.
It sounds like a very well thought through plan that you're presenting
here. We provide through Catholic School Management, and we all worked on these models that we are able to provide to the schools, so they don't have to write these documents from scratch. We have this all worked through. We've had them consulted with in respect to other areas of the Archdiocese. So they're pretty well developed documents that we go in and talk to a pastor and principal about in terms of being able to move forward. And by the way, one of the other things that the pastor reserves to himself is the appointment and evaluation of the principal.
Now, would this require that schools completely reconstitute their boards? Are they starting from scratch, or can some of the people just segue from the current structure to the new structure?
It would depend, I think, on whether or not the people who are currently working with the board have those skills that are important to the function of the new board. I think there will be some people who will be totally reconstituted, and there may be some who literally just transition over. And additionally, for those parents who are currently serving on the board but are not would be in excess of that 25%, there would certainly be the opportunity to work on committees, because that's where the work is really done.
Yeah, you referenced earlier the Genesis program. Yeah. Refresh our memories on what that's about.
Well, the Genesis program had been developed over a couple of years, and it is a program that comes out of the Mitler study and also our own visioning process, and it is a strategic plan for the Archdiocese in regards to how we can enhance our Catholic identity, how we can improve our educational programs, even though we feel both are strong, we can make them better. But also, and I don't mean to say more importantly, but this is the biggest challenge we have right now in terms of making our schools more viable. So we believe that this governance structure will help make our schools more financially viable. It's one of the strategies in that section.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Nick and Carol, for thinking through this amazing plan, and wish you the best of luck in implementing it within our elementary schools. We're going to move to a break now. When we return, we're going to talk to a very special teacher and a very special principal who have recently been awarded by the National Catholic Education Association. Don't go away. Stay right there.
As winter sets in, Catholic Charities seeks help for the homeless. I'm Father Mike Boland, the administrator of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese, and I invite you to join us in our efforts to clothe and feed the poor. Catholic Charities is in need of warm items in our clothing rooms. We are collecting coats, gloves, hats, blankets, and sleeping bags for the homeless. Donations can be dropped off at our emergency assistance office at 721 North LaSalle, or you can visit our website at www.catholiccharities.net. Help Catholic Charities provide a little warmth this winter.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Four Catholic elementary schools celebrate the national honor of being named No Child Left Behind Blue Ribbon Schools. We visited all four schools to see what makes them special. And talk about overcoming adversity. This woman was aborted at 7 months, survived, and is now a pro-life speaker, a singer-songwriter, and has completed a couple of marathons, despite having cerebral palsy. You gotta meet Gianna Jessen.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Archdiocese of Chicago on Relevant Radio, AM 820. It's 922 in Chicago. Glad you're with us. We're talking today about the Catholic schools. And, Nick, I'm sure this is a fun opportunity for you. You have lots
Absolutely.
Of wonderful people working in the schools, and I'm sure it's very gratifying when some of them are recognized and honored for the good work that they do.
That is for certain. We know that in order for a Catholic school, to be successful, there have to be a number of things in place. But by far and away, the leadership of the principal and the effect of a teacher in the classroom, those two are just unbelievably important for the success of a Catholic school. And it's great to have some national recognition of one of the principals in our diocese, and certainly one of our teachers.
Well, let's introduce our guests. Sitting here in the studio is Thomas Cedar, who is the principal of Infant Jesus of Prague. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
You did.
Great. And on the phone, we have one of our teachers, Nancy Roberts Garrity, who teaches both 7th and 8th grades at St. John Fisher School. You must be a woman with a lot of energy.
Yes, I am. And I absolutely love teaching junior high.
That's exactly the way I felt too, Nancy. That was my favorite job in all of education, teaching 7th and 8th graders.
Well, why don't we start with Nancy? Nick, could you tell us a little bit about this honor that Nancy was given?
Well, the honor that is given to the teacher talks about recognizing people who have been exemplary in the way that they have carried out the philosophy, the mission of a Catholic school teacher, and certainly in respect to the mission, passing on the faith to young people, and also being, you know, first class in respect to the teaching in the classroom. Also, a very important part of evaluating the effectiveness of a teacher is the amount of staff development that a teacher goes through, because we firmly believe that if you're going to be on top of your game, so to speak, whether it's teachers or leaders, you have to continually learn, and that's an important part of this award also.
That's great. Nancy, tell us, what do you most enjoy about teaching these young folks? I mean, you're in the most challenging grades from what I hear. I don't do it, but I watch other people do it. And I know that 7th and 8th grade requires a very special person. Why have you done it, and why do you enjoy it?
Well, I think the reason why I enjoy teaching 7th and 8th grade so much is because I know that they're at an age where I can help with their faith formation. And we can talk on an adult level almost, and we pray together, and I share my faith. I share stories with them about things that have happened in my life. I have 5 children who are now young adults, but I share stories about my children with my students, and they're just so responsive, and they're just so eager to learn, and that's why I enjoy being here.
They're in, at that in-between age, aren't they, Nancy?
Yes.
They're little kids yet, but they're eager to learn, so they want to become young adults, and they want to do that right. That's the feeling I always had when I was teaching 7th and 8th grade. They want to learn how to be a good adult, and this faith formation that Nancy's talking about is so terribly important to that.
Yeah. We want to remind our listeners that you can call in with any questions you might have about the Catholic schools. Our number is 312-751-1979. 312-751-1979. Right, sitting next to me here is Thomas Cedar, who is the principal of Infant Jesus of Prague. I think that must be a very special parish. I have five people in my lay ministry program preparing to be past associates and DREs from that parish, and just Saturday with the Cardinal, I said, they must be doing something right at that parish. Now we have the principal who's been nationally honored. Principals often are the behind-the-scenes folks, and sometimes, oftentimes, I think they're not noticed. How does it feel to be noticed and to be recognized for doing a great job?
Well, it's all of a sudden now it's sinking in after winning this award. It's not only about me, but it's about the teachers in a school, and I think that's where the recognition belongs. I have a great staff, and we have a bunch of great kids, and most importantly, great parents.
How long have you been the principal there, Tom?
26 years.
Wow.
Amazing, isn't he? He's a wonderful example of the tremendous leadership we have here in the Catholic schools. Tom's done a great job at Infant Jesus of Prague.
Yeah, so talk about being a pillar of the school.
Were you
a
teacher there before that, Tom?
I taught at St. Jude in South Holland, which is now Christ our Savior. Matter of fact, the current principal is an ex-student of mine.
Great. Well, 26 years is a long time. You must have seen a lot of changes, a lot of transitions. How are things different today from when you first started?
We have a larger enrollment.
Really?
And I have more staff members. When I started, it was 420 students. Today, there's 600.
Well, and that's really good news.
Yeah.
All right, we need to clone this guy. how has that come about?
I think PR, telling the community about our school. We sit inside a very good public school district, so we had to be equal or better than. And also collaboration with my local fellow principals who are in the Catholic school. So I believe that also our school has won the Blue Ribbon Award twice, and I think that's an important thing.
Years were those, Tom?
1999 was the first time, and 2004 the second time.
Who gives that award?
U.S. Department of Education.
So they send in a team of people who study, or do you send in an application?
We send in an application. We felt, actually, we applied three times. First time, we didn't do it the right way, and I encourage every Catholic school principal to try, because I believe that this award is for all of them.
Now, I was especially struck by what you said, that you are within a very good public school system.
Yes.
So that means people are very intentionally choosing to come to Infant Jesus of Prague, even though they have a free alternative that they could take advantage of.
That's correct.
So you must have a product that's really, really attractive.
I sure hope so, and I hope it continues.
And it's a quality product because of the work that Tom and his staff has done. And I certainly understand Tom wanting to pass the accolades on to his staff, because you can't do this alone, but you first of all need the great leader who's willing to work with the staff to get it done.
That's right. Nancy, how long have you been teaching in the Catholic schools?
I've been teaching the Catholic school system for 19 years. 17 of those years I've been here at St. John Fisher School.
And have you always worked with the junior high?
Yes. And that was my first experience with junior high, because I had taught art before, and I'd also taught some of the younger grades. And Sister Jean, my principal, when she put me into the junior high, I thought the woman was crazy.
Yeah.
And but she obviously knew something that I didn't know. And I was I'm very happy with this. And it's because of people like Sister Jean McGrath, who's my principal, that allows all of us teachers to blossom and grow. When we come up with new ideas, she always says, go for it, try it. And she's very supportive of the entire staff. So by receiving this award, it's almost like the whole school is receiving the award.
Well, great. It's time for us to move to a break, so we're going to ask everyone to stay put. We're going to continue our conversations with Tom Cedar and Nancy Roberts-Garrity as soon as we come back. Don't touch that dial.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a Christmas greeting for Relevant Radio listeners. Dear friends, as we prepare for the glorious celebration of Christ's birth and the promise of His return in glory, we look again at the many ways that we meet Christ in our lives. May the presence of the newborn Christ bring the blessings of peace and love upon your family in this season. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio, and Merry Christmas.
It's Morning Air with Sean Harriott and Wendy Weiss.
Wendy Weiss, up very, very early. You sound like you're awake.
I am highly caffeinated.
All right.
And I'm a huge fan of yours, as you know, because you gave me $25 to say that.
Listen to Morning Air with Sean Harriott and Wendy Weiss.
This is Glenn Hansen, and I'll have the latest weather for you, plus traffic time so you can get to work on time. Join us for Morning Air on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back. This is Graziano Marcheschi, your co-host today with Dr. Nicholas Volsinovich. This is the Catholic Community of Faith on AM 820 Relevant Radio in Chicago. This is the monthly Focus on Catholic Schools program, and we're very delighted today to have two people who've been nationally recognized for the great work they've been doing here within our diocesan schools. Principal Thomas Cedar of Infant Jesus of Prague and teacher Nancy Roberts Garrity of St. John Fisher School.
I think it's important to note here that Tom was chosen from a pool of 6,000 principals nationwide, and Nancy was chosen from a pool of over 100,000 teachers.
Amazing.
So that's quite an honor to be chosen out of that kind of those kinds of numbers.
What were the criteria for making those selections?
Well, one of the criteria was, you know, professional associations. You had to be an effective faith leader. One of the things that I've just done in the last couple of years at Infant Jesus is, instead of wondering what they did in religious ed, I became active in religious ed.
Huh.
So I also help run the religious ed program with the DRE.
The principal is the chief faith leader, chief
school.
Catechist of the school, isn't
correct.
He or she? Yeah.
Yeah, correct. And there's a lot. I think that brought together a deeper meaning of our faith within the parish, and that's. I think it's important that we do that.
You know, before we forget, Tom, what is the phone number of Infant Jesus of Prague? Perhaps some of our listeners are thinking maybe that would be a good choice for my children.
Phone number is area code 708-799-5200.
Tell us again.
708-799-5200. You could join us on February 1st at our open house.
There you go.
Nancy, how about you? When you submitted an application for this honor, there must have been some criteria for choosing you out of 100,000 people. What do you think? You know, you're going to have to do a little bragging on yourself, but don't hesitate because this is a wonderful honor. Why do you think you were selected for this?
You're right. I would have to do some bragging, and I'm not used to bragging. When Sister Jean told me that she wanted to nominate me, I thought, fine. I thought she was just going to write a rosy little letter and send it in. She handed me this 6-page application, and there's all of these essay questions. And I know that I really put my heart and soul into answering the questions. And the more I wrote, the more I realized that I fit well with what they were looking for. And one of the things is I am a published author, and I think that might have helped a little bit. I developed my own curriculum.
Uh-huh.
And after I had been working on my curriculum for about 5 years, I decided to look for a publishing company for some of my teaching materials, and I did find a publishing company, and two of my books are out there.
What is the topic of the books?
Okay, one's called Classic Middle School Literature Mystery, and the other one is Classic Middle School Literature Adventure. And they're both put out by Goodyear Books. and they were published in the year 2000.
I think, you know, one of the real keys for both Tom and Nancy is the whole emphasis of their professional career in professional development. And so they do this in a lot of different ways. But, for example, Nancy is a member of the National Catholic Educational Association, the National Middle School Association, the National Education Organization, and also the Illinois Educational Organization. And she is committed to lifelong learning. And Tom has similar. Tom, what are the associations that you belong to?
I belong to the NSCD. I also belong to the National Association of Elementary School Principals, along with National Catholic Education Association.
I don't think you could.
You're
ask.
You're being modest, because I got around seven more here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you could ask for a better witness for our students than to see their teachers and their principals continue to be students themselves.
That's exactly right, because, in Genesis, one of the main things, and you'll find this in the professional literature talking about how to improve schools, it's always coming back to professional development, staff development for the principals as well as the teachers. Mm. And you have two wonderful examples of people in our diocese doing that. And it is so important that everybody, they're good models for the other people. Tom, a good model for his teachers, and Nancy, a model for her colleagues, that their emphasis on staff development.
Nancy, if one of our listeners wanted to get a hold of St. John Fisher, give us a phone number they could use.
Sure. 773-445-4737.
Repeat that, please.
773-445-4737.
And do you have a school website that our folks could access?
We do, except I think you just have to Google St. John Fisher in Chicago.
Wait, our producer has just come up with it.
Okay.
www.sjfschool.net. That's www.sjfschool.net. Look them up. How about you, Tom? Do you have a website for Infant Jesus?
Yes, we do. It's www.ijpparish.org.
One more time, please.
www.ijpparish.org, and you can link to the school.
Well, I bet that's one of the changes you've seen in 26 years. I bet you didn't have a website when you started.
Definitely not.
No. Technology does change.
Yeah, extremely. I mean, we didn't have computers in the classroom.
Yeah, I see my son go on his high school's website every night to find out what his homework is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, our next hope is that we get the parents to check on whether or not the kid's doing his homework, you know,
there you go.
Through the Internet.
Well, it's been a pleasure being able to talk to two such fine educators, and knowing that this Catholic Archdiocese is blessed with people like Tom Cedar, Nancy Roberts-Garrity. God bless you in your continued work. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about St. Anne's School. So don't go away.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Join me, Chuck Neff, and our panel of spiritual advisors for The Inner Life. Get reliable spiritual direction from highly experienced Catholic priests who are able to guide you through the complexity of issues confronting your personal relationship with God. The Inner Life, heard here on Relevant Radio every weekday.
That's The Inner Life with Chuck Neff, weekday afternoons at 1 on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Here's an invitation for men in the Archdiocese of Chicago to attend ministry weekends at Mundelein Seminary, retreats designed to help men discern God's call to the priesthood. I'm Father Joe Noonan, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Ministry weekends feature presentations about diocesan priesthood, prayer, and discussion, all aimed at reaching a better understanding of God's movement in your life. For more information about these free retreats, call me, Father Joe Noonan, at 847-970-4845, or visit our website, www.chicagopriest.org. I look forward to meeting you at our next ministry weekend, Friday, January 12th through Sunday, January 14th.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on AM 820 Relevant Radio in Chicago. We're talking about Catholic schools today. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools. During this segment, we're going to be talking to two wonderful young men. I wish you could see them. They are...
Maybe not.
The youngest principal we probably have in the Archdiocese and the Development Director for St. Anne's School here in Chicago. Benny Morton is the principal. Brian O'Rourke is the Director of Development. And they're going to tell us about a relationship with the University of Notre Dame. Nick, how, do we have relationships with universities?
Oh, yes. But let me first say that when I look out over, when I have all the principals in front of me and we're addressing them, there's close to 300. And we always talk about where is the new leadership going to come? Because I always say that within 5 years, you know, a third to half of us are going to be gone. And it's just really good to see Benny here. He's only 28 and Brian is 33. I mean, that's the kind of new leadership we need.
Amen.
To speak about the kinds of, you know, relationships we have with the university, when we first got here, we established a position called staff development, professional development. And that's Dr. Michelle Jenkins, and it's her job to work with the university. So we've developed some wonderful relationships with DePaul and Loyola, Dominican, Xavier, and they basically center around staff development. So we're very happy to be moving in that direction. We have worked very closely now with the University of Notre Dame in a number of number of ways. And one of the ways that we have worked with them the longest would be this ACE program. And I think it'd probably be best if we threw it to Benny to have him explain that program and then talk about how that is benefiting St. Anne's.
Thank you, Nick. Well, thank you for having us here. It's great to
Pleasure.
Be here to talk about St. Anne and the wonderful things going on there. Firstly, I'll talk about a little bit about the ACE program, Alliance for Catholic Education, through the University of Notre Dame. It's a teacher training program that has now been replicated in a number of Catholic universities across the country, where they prepare Catholic school teachers in under-resourced Catholic schools throughout the South. Hmm. And I am a product of that program, and a number of offshoots have formed at University of Notre Dame, including training principals for administrative positions in Catholic schools. And a number of things that have developed recently is, one of them is this Magnificat partnership that will begin this year at St. Anne, which is the first year of a five-year partnership between the university and St. Anne Catholic School. The ACE program in Notre Dame has strong presence at St. Anne, with myself being a graduate and a number of other graduates here. And we're really excited about their presence. They are looking to help inner-city Catholic schools, and St. Anne is one of two schools in the country that they are beginning this partnership with. And I'll talk a little bit in a minute about the goals and the methods we're going to do at the school, but we're really excited about what the ACE program is going to bring to Notre Dame.
So, Ben, you're a graduate of the University of Notre Dame?
Yes.
And while there, you were participating in this program that was specifically focused on preparing teachers for Catholic schools.
Well, actually, I was a finance major in University of Notre Dame, and when I graduated, I looked to do a service program.
You saw the light.
I saw the light. It's interesting how now I'm a principal, and I'm not in the banking world, but a lot of those things you learn in those finance classes come into play when
but
running a school.
You need to know finances when you're running a Catholic school.
That's
exactly right.
Very
well,
important.
It looks like you did a smart thing. You hired a development director.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine there are too many Catholic schools, elementary schools, that have a full-time development director like you do. Brian, tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
I will. Thank you for having me here. What I do, I am the development director, and Benny, a couple of years ago, hired me to do some of the development of the school, knowing full well that the school needs to be financially viable, St. Anne. So my role is to raise some of the funds that in the past, some of the parents had to share that burden. So nowadays we have, instead of having candy sales and bake sales, we're having larger events. For example, a golf event in June and an event that kicks off the school year in August. Secondly, we started an annual appeal last year. And thirdly, I'm writing some grants. So those are three ways that we are trying to raise some funds from the outside.
Yeah, grant writing is an amazing source of help for any organization, but it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of skill, a lot of effort, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It takes a lot of time because the process, once you do get the grant written, it always takes 6 months. There's a lag between whether or not you're going to get the grant.
Great. Benny, you mentioned the Magnificat program. It looks like an amazingly generous effort on the part of the University of Notre Dame. Tell us a little bit about it and tell us how St. Anne's is involved.
Okay. Well, there's three main goals of the program. One of them is to increase enrollment at St. Anne, to increase student achievement at St. Anne in both standardized test scores and Catholic high school acceptance, and to decrease faculty turnover at St. Anne. Well, how are we going to accomplish those things? I think those are our goals for most schools. But what's special about the Magnificat program is that University of Notre Dame is providing us with some resources to help us achieve these goals. A couple of them include some monetary assistance, and part of that is for the school, the faculty, to identify certain things, certain instructional resources that we need at the school to help us implement a number of new curriculum and other instructional strategies that we want to do at the school. Another important part is professional development. Now, professional development is an extremely important part of a teacher growing, because if you continue to do the same thing year after year, of course, it becomes stagnant and you might not be as an effective teacher. We have to grow and change with the times. And professional development opportunities are out there for educators. But unfortunately, sometimes you go to a workshop or you come in and you have a guest speaker and you have all these great ideas like, oh, I'm going to use this. But then you get to school the next day and you get caught up in all the other things you have planned, and sometimes you might not be able to implement all of the things that you've learned at some of these workshops. So what Notre Dame has done is they've hired an instructional coach who's there for 20 hours a week, and this instructional coach provides on-site professional development, ongoing professional development, so that the teacher can talk to our instructional coach about how can I improve in this part of my teaching? How can I work on this? How can I get better at this? And the instructional coach will not necessarily have all the answers, but has time to look up resources, to look things up on the internet, attend workshops, and share these ideas with the teachers, and then come into the classroom and see how they're doing, and then have an ongoing evaluation of what they're implementing through the instructional coach. And so this is a great thing for our staff, because one of the goals was to decrease faculty turnover. Well, we're trying to create an atmosphere where the teachers feel like, okay, I can take risks, I can look at different opportunities and how I can instruct my students in a different way and meet their needs.
I want to hear more about that, Benny, in a minute. We need to take a break, so we're going to go to a break now. But when we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Brian and with Benny of St. Anne's School about this amazing initiative that's underwritten by the University of Notre Dame. Don't go away.
Celebration of Giving is underway. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invite you to join in the celebration of giving this holiday season. I'm Father Mike Boland, asking you to help children and their families unwrap the spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or better yet, hosting a toy gathering party. For more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Again, for more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit us at www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Make a difference this holiday season. Donate to Catholic Charities.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Poverty is no stranger to Illinois. The number of people living in poverty in this state has jumped by more than 30% in the last 5 years. We have the highest rate of deep poverty in the Midwest. The poor are not only growing in numbers, they're also getting poorer. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development breaks the cycle of poverty. It funds programs to create jobs, increase affordable housing, and protect the rights of workers, seniors, immigrants, and the disabled. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Help break the cycle of poverty.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of Catholic Radio in Chicago on AM 820. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, with co-host Dr. Nicholas Volsinovich, doing our monthly focus on the Catholic schools within the Archdiocese. We're talking to two delightful and energetic and very committed young men, Benny Morton, Principal, and Brian O'Rourke, Development Director of St. Anne's School in Chicago.
I think it's important to note that one of the things that the Notre Dame University wants to do in respect to St. Anne's is to strengthen the school board. And that's so much a part of what, as you know, we talked about the last couple segments about the genesis and the strategic plan. In order to have a school that's very, very viable, you need to have a very committed and involved school board. So I think it might be helpful if Benny would talk a little bit about the school board.
Thank you, Nick. Yes, one of the points that Notre Dame brings about is to help strengthen the school board at St. Anne. And what Dr. Carol Palmer shared with us earlier about the board of specified jurisdiction, we're actually working on getting that implemented by the next school year. Because, as you know, we have some very dedicated parents, and we're so grateful for all they do. But we do need members of the school board to be community leaders or people with certain strengths within finance or with construction or some other things that can be very beneficial to a school and help it run to be more successful. And so Notre Dame is going to provide a little bit of training as we start to form this new board of specified jurisdiction, as we try to get more involvement from people outside of just the local St. Anne community, because we're getting the word out about St. Anne and all the wonderful things going on. And Brian has worked very hard in getting people from outside of the local school community, but with connections with people on the staff, connection with people within Notre Dame or within the diocese, who are very helpful to St. Anne to help to keep it, continue to provide a good Catholic education for our students.
Brian, how does your work interface with the work of the school board?
Well, I meet with one member on the school board is a very, very experienced fundraiser, and that person has given me some very, very good tips because I'm new to the development field. And that person has given me some great grant writing tips and has turned me on to different people within the community, and said, yeah, I think this is a good option for you. Go and ask this person to help out. And in many cases, some of that school board members' advice has helped out a great deal.
What's the enrollment of St. Anne's this year?
We're at 207.
Last year you were?
A little bit lower, about 198.
Yeah, so I thought you gained a few students. So that shows that we're moving in the right direction. Do you have any particular enrollment goals for next year or the next couple of years?
Well, we'd like to continue to increase the enrollment steadily. Mm-hmm. We're not dreaming too big here because we have to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to gain between 5 and 10 students every year. Actually, we had a little bit increase this year. We opened up a pre-kindergarten program with the help of our patron through the Big Shoulders program, mm-hmm. to open up a pre-kindergarten class. We asked the community members, is there a need for a pre-kindergarten opportunity? And there definitely was a need, and we had a full class, and we had a waiting list when the school year started. So we thought that's a great addition to the school as we continue to develop students at an even younger age to prepare for school.
Benny, can you give a phone number to our listeners?
Yes. You can contact St. Anne at 312-829-4153.
Once again, please.
312-829-4153.
What about a website?
www.stanncrusaders.org. That's S-T-A-N-N crusaders.org.
stanncrusaders.org. Mm-hmm. I notice one of the objectives on this Magnificat program is that the University of Notre Dame is going to help you to develop programs focused on promoting morality. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's a very important aspect of Catholic school education, is to teach the students on how to make decisions based on their ethical and moral values. And so Notre Dame is working on an ethical development program as long as a coaching program that promotes morality. And so with the implementation of these programs through our partnership, we'll be able to help nurture the students' growth in their moral and ethical decision making. And so we're very excited about that, because that is a very unique and beneficial part of a Catholic school.
So I'm assuming that won't be focused just on the teachers who might be teaching religion, but on all the teachers covering all the subjects within the school day?
Yes, because that ethical and moral values, that permeates throughout the school day. It just doesn't have to happen in religion class. I mean, we can talk about making the right decisions in all classes. We don't have to restrict it to just religion class.
Now, Benny, how long have you been principal there?
This is my second year.
Second year. Yep. Do you think you'll be around for a while?
I hope so. And I give a lot of credit to Tom Cedar at Infant Jesus for all the years that he's given to Catholic education.
Well, tell me, what attracts a young man like you? You're obviously very talented. You could be doing lots of things. Why are you where you are today?
Well, I think I have to give a lot of mention to my parents for obviously instilling a lot of Catholic values within me and help me to develop all that, the responsibility I have for the church.
But I hope you parents out there are listening.
Yes, it's very important. And then also my Catholic education throughout my life was through the Archdiocese of Chicago. I was born and raised here in Chicago.
Where did you go to school?
St. Odile School in Berwyn, and then St. Joseph High School in Westchester.
Super. Excellent.
So I owe a lot of it to that and to my feeling that it's very important to give back to the church, and I feel that it is my calling to do this.
Brian, are you a product of Catholic education?
I am.
Where did you go?
I grew up in River Forest. I went to St. Luke, and I went to high school at Fenwick High School in Oak Park.
So this stuff sticks, huh?
It definitely does.
It does.
That's what the research shows, too, that when those kids who go through Catholic schools, graduate, have gone 8 or more years of Catholic schooling, they participate and they practice their faith to a much higher percentage than those kids who do not go to Catholic schools. So I think this is perfect proof of that kind of thing.
And we're hoping that sticks with our students at St. Anne as well.
Absolutely.
Well, we're delighted to have had this conversation with you gentlemen here today. Benny Morton of St. Anne's School. You have one last word. We've got a few seconds.
Okay. Go. We have an event this Sunday at St. Anne. We have a Mass at 10:30 and then a reception afterward to celebrate this partnership with Notre Dame. I'd like to say a quick hello to the students at St. Anne. Go Crusaders.
Amen.
Phone numbers and webpage, did we get those?
We did that.
Okay.
We did
right.
That. We're on the eve of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas. The Holy Father put us under her protection, so we wish everyone a happy Feast of Guadalupe tomorrow. Thank you for listening. This is Relevant Radio, AM 820 Chicago. Graziano Marcheschi, Dr. Nick Bolsonovich. God bless you and have a great day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.